Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Do we have a socialist revolution about to happen in the United States? I mean, is that possible? Are the young people in this country who didn't live through the Cold War and witnessed what was going on in the Soviet Union, are they so swayed by the allure of socialism that they will throw their hat in with this group? Doug Henwood is an economic journalist at the New Republic and joins us this morning. Doug, I said earlier I used to feel guilty, a little guilty, when I would say that the Democrat Party was the party of communists and socialists, because I thought, well, maybe I'm not being fair. Now, I feel like I've been vindicated on that. Is socialism on the rise of the Democrat Party? It seems like it is.
To some degree, I mean, I think it's certainly true among younger people under 40, I would say, for whom capitalism hasn't been doing such a great job. You know, these people came of age as everything was falling apart in the midst of a financial crisis, and they're really not doing well. They're not doing as well as their parents. They feel like they're burdened with debt and don't have much in the way of a future. And the Sanders campaign and people like AOC have energized them. I mean, certainly it's, you know, when we're talking about the movement, the DSA, the Democratic Socialists of America, has 56,000 members now. It's not in the millions, but I think a lot of the ideological and organizational energy is in that wing of the party. But I should say, you know, the leadership of the party is not entirely happy about this.
Would you draw a distinction between Democrat socialists in the United States and socialism that we see overseas? And the gradations of this, to be candid.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we can think of more people a lot with terminology, whether it's democratic socialist or social democrat or socialist. I think the crucial thing in this case is that their model is, or not everyone, you know, there's a lot of variety in DSA, but I think the central tendency is that they're looking for something on a Scandinavian model like Sweden or Denmark, where they've got a large public sector, but still nobody is going to expropriate the capitalist class and put them in gulags anytime soon. It's really that they want a package of welfare state things like free college tuition, public health insurance, and things like that. And a lot of them are very, very deeply passionate about climate change. So they're looking for something like a Green New Deal.
There's a lot of passion, but can they do the math, Doug? I mean, would you argue with me that in a country as big as the United States, that if you do make the social contract that we will pay for college and that we will pay for your health care from start to finish, that it is very likely that we run out of money fast, that we go bankrupt?
Well, I don't know. Denmark doesn't look like a bankrupt country. Sweden certainly doesn't look bankrupt. They do pay a lot higher taxes. There's no doubt about it. And I think a lot of folks on who are talking like this don't really understand or want to admit how that they do that will require higher taxes. We're talking about a shift of, I don't know, maybe 10 or 15% of GDP into the public sector. And that's a lot of money. It is. It's, you know, GDP is just over, what, $20 trillion now? So we're talking about moving 20 or 30 trillion, 2 or 3 trillion rather, from the private sector into the public, and that would be a big change. Now you have to think that we are already spending a lot of this money on healthcare. We spend more of a share of our economy than anybody else on earth by a considerable margin, and that is because, and we still only cover, you know, 90% of the population, or not even that. So I mean, we're spending the money; we're just not always spending it wisely. Same thing with college. I mean, people are, you know, going deeply into debt to pay for college. The money is being spent. It's just that the folks are then saddled with this later as debt service. It's not a tax. It's, you know, they're paying their student loans.
And it still goes to individuals. I guess the problem I've got, Doug, and you know, tell me if you think I'm wrong here. I look at Italy. I look at Greece. I look at, you know, just in the last decade, countries that I've had clients when I was in the PR business, their social contract has collapsed. I mean, pensions, you know, which nobody's going to argue about taking care of old people when they retire, but they just didn't have the money left. And I'm concerned that as alluring as it is to say these are fundamentals that we should take care of, and we want to be a highly educated nation of smart people who are industrious, that the reality on the ground is that eventually, even, you know, just like paying with a credit card, you can look like you're doing really well for the first couple of years, and then at some point it all falls out from under you. Would you argue that I'm wrong on that?
Well, you know, the southern European countries that went through the crisis of the euro some years ago, they were mostly always had a problem before the euro was created. Greece was a fairly poor country, a fraction of the income of Germany's. You know, Greece is not Germany. The United States is more like Germany, and the northern European countries, a phenomenally rich country with phenomenal amounts of waste in everywhere that, you know, if we just spend it more wisely. I'm not a partisan of debt. I think a lot of people on the left are perhaps a little too casual about borrowing lots of money. I don't like that. I think we should pay for things. But that means you have to raise taxes and be honest with people that their taxes are going to go up. But I really don't think that borrowing lots of money to fund things and then wondering what happens 10 years later when the bills come due, that's not a good approach. I think we should be honest about it for the first and keep the books balanced. It's just at a much higher level of public spending.
And to be fair, both parties have spent us into oblivion before we even go down the road of obligating ourselves to the social contract.
Well, this is very worrisome now. I mean, I really find this, we're running $1 trillion deficits with the unemployment rate below 4%. That seems like a very risky thing to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, we might, you know, if we have a deep recession, just like the one we had in 2008, we're going to need to spend some money to get out of it. Mm-hmm. And the government's books will be in such terrible shape that it's going to be hard to do. So I think spending this, running these kinds of deficits in more or less peacetime and with the economy at full employment by most definitions, that seems very imprudent. So if we're going to talk about prudence, I should talk to a lot of people in the Republican Party about that right now.
We got to get everybody in the room for that. Well, you know what? I didn't know whether this interview was going to turn into a shouting match or what. We're coming for the New Republic. So I appreciate the chance to have you come on the air and talk about it. Doug Henwood, economic journalist at the New Republic. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.